it's only once every couple years I get to break out the Duran Duran spinoff group Arcadia because of their song Election Day. So it's only every couple years that I get to add to the clicks and plays here for Simon Le Bon and the boys.
So a Duran Duran spinoff.
Spinoff group, right. So you had Duran Duran.
Right.
Yeah, Duran Duran back in the 80s. Well, you're an old guy like me. In the 80s, this Duran Duran stuff was pretty big.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had their spinoff project Arcadia that had the song Election Day. All right, we'll move on from there. 807 FM Talk 106.5 at Mobile Mornings on this Super Tuesday. Yeah, this is great. Great information coming in here. We do this every year or every time we're voting. Most of us vote at the same time and the same place unless you've moved and have a new polling location. So it's a pretty decent indicator of turnout year to year. And we're seeing everything from way busier than normal to not busy at all, mm-hmm. to just like normal. When you text in at 343-0106, tell us where you vote, what your polling place is, and then on top of that, then say, you know, is it just like it is every time you go vote, or is it more, or is it less? We all kind of get a sense of that, how long you wait. And we're seeing a mixed bag, except for the one thing that stood out to me was it Pillins Elementary, where they did not bring the book for P through Z voters,
yeah.
So they were backed up because the book wasn't there.
That's a problem. You got to get the books there so that people can vote. Some more updates. Pelican says Magnolia Springs had a light turnout at around 7:30 when he went in to vote. Monty in and out at their polling place in Sims. Let's see here. We got another I voted selfie, which we like around
here. Yes.
Normal turnout in Perdido at the Volunteer Fire Department. Also, Chickasaw polling place. Looks like parking lots are full. And that's Sherry saying that she'll vote tonight with the hubby and report back then. And then I like this. We got an exit poll.
Our first
exit poll from one of these polling places. Unnamed texter said they did an exit poll at Chickasaw. It polled two people.
Yes, very good. Very good sample.
And so of those two people, it's 100% Trump and 50% Sessions, 50% Byrne in the Senate primary. So some good information there.
All right. The perfect sample there on the exit polling. Also, Jennifer saying City Church on Michael Boulevard. Traffic on Michael due to the road work is about to start. Otherwise, fairly light right now. And let's add to the traffic mix as well. I think we're talking about the same issue. Well, here we go. Wreckerman says, I like when you, Wreckerman, I do appreciate this, no joke, when you talk about what is causing the slowdown. A lounge chair in the middle lane, northbound 65 at exit 5.
A lounge chair. Wow, be careful.
Yo, seriously, be careful out there. All right, we'll get more traffic coming up with Kane in just a minute. Right now, we'll check in with Quinn Hillier from QuinnHillier.com. Also, read his work in the Washington Examiner and pick up the trilogy. Where and what is the trilogy all about, Quinn?
It's satire on modern media, politics, and religion. Mad Jones. Mad Jones heretic. Mad Jones hero. And Mad Jones agonistes. How's that for a nice big word?
Very Greek of you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And people can go there and get that over at Amazon.com.
Amazon.
Okay.
Yep.
Click the is there a button? You have to click all three, or can you click a trilogy button?
I'm not sure.
Make it easier for folks. All right. Let's talk some Super Tuesday. Let's talk some voting here in Alabama. And let's talk about the item that's on the ballot right now that doesn't have a person. It is an amendment, a constitutional amendment, and that is Amendment 1.
The only constitutional amendment on the ballot, Amendment 1, it would change the state school board from being elected to being appointed. It would undo reform that we put in about, 20 years ago or something like that, because everybody realized that the appointed board didn't work. Now they want to go back to an appointed board. Look, there actually are arguments, decent arguments on both sides, but it comes down to it. Do you like to have your vote taken away from you? I mean, most people would rather vote on who's going to represent them rather than have them appointed. But the other two arguments against it are this. If you get a bad governor, if you get a governor in hock to a particular interest group,
mm-hmm.
If you get a liberal governor because the Republicans put up an opponent that you know, turns out to have a scandal or something like that, and so you have
That's ever happened, but
yeah,
okay.
You know, say you have a Doug Jones situation and you have a governor that isn't really in tune with the majority of the public. Do you want that governor appointing every member of the state school board? I think not. I mean, you're putting all your eggs in one basket if you vote for this amendment, and to me, that's not a good idea.
I'm glad you bring this up, too, because I think at least as polarized as things are in politics right now, this is one of these places we can get into nuanced discussion. And I hear from people, they may all, let's say on the Republican side, they may all out today voting for, you know, Republicans, but they have I've heard, you know, a lot of people say, hey, I think I might vote yes on this. And, you know, I tell folks that, well, I've discussed this, and like you, I'm talking about a no vote. I'm glad to hear you say there are some arguments to be made on the yes side. And one of those, let me play devil's advocate for a second, and we look at the statistics here for Alabama. Look at math, where we are, at the bottom of the list. Improvement needs to happen, and I would say that if we're going to keep it the way it is, that it needs to be a two-part thing. Keep it the way it is, but people got to pay attention to State Board of Education. I think people are just, they're ignorant to it.
The State Board of Education, but it is entirely simplistic to say that the reason that our
Correct.
Gains in the early 2000s have been reversed in the last 10 years is just because we had an elected school board. I mean, that's a correlation is not necessarily causation.
Right.
But the second thing is, if you look at to what does look like correlation and causation come together, it is that we started early in this new century with the Alabama Reading Initiative and the Alabama Math Initiative, and from all over the country, everybody came and looked and said, Alabama's doing something right. And look, we were dead last in education, and in about 6 or 7 years, we had moved up from dead last to about 42nd or 43rd, and by one measurement, 25th. Okay? So we were moving in the right direction. And then we got stupid, and we adopted Common Core, these national education standards. And guess what? Immediately upon Common Core going in and teaching all this complicated math stuff that doesn't actually work, we started dropping again. Now, again, you can say correlation isn't causation, but the timing is very suspicious, especially since what happened was exactly what we Common Core opponents said. And why do I bring this up? Because there is a really bad bait and switch in this amendment that involves Common Core. And that's why, you know, I say on the basic level, elected versus appointed, there are arguments on both sides, but I come down on elected, but at least there are arguments on one side. The bait and switch language on Common Core makes me wholeheartedly against it. And this, do you have time for me to read this one sentence here?
Sure, depending on that. I mean, there are some. What is the longest sentence in the American language?
No, it's not. Okay.
All right.
In the fine print of the amendment, it says the commission, the new commission, would have to adopt, quote, a course of study standards that ensure nationwide consistency. Remember that, ensure nationwide consistency. And the seamless transfer of students from within and outside of the state in lieu of small C common, small C core. And they're going around saying, see, this gets rid of Common Core. It actually does just the opposite. First of all, it doesn't capitalize common or core, so it's not even in lieu of the official thing known as Common Core. But the second thing is, if you have to have, in the state constitution, this would put it, in the state constitution, a course of study standards that ensure nationwide consistency in the seamless transfer of students from within and outside of the state. Guess what? Right now, there is no other national course of study standards other than Common Core. So what this means is they have to adopt standards that are in line with Common Core, big C common, big C core. It enshrines Common Core in the state constitution as long as they don't call it Common Core. So they can take the actual language of the standards word by word by word, change maybe three words, call it something other than Common Core, and say, see, we have to do this because we have to have national standards.
Sure.
It is a total bait and switch. It enshrines Common Core into the state constitution rather than getting rid of it.
A rose by any other name. And just quickly before we run to the break, and we'll come back with Quinn, but this way I've been explaining it. Quinn, if there's any adjustment you want to make to it, but when people look at the ballot today, a no vote on Amendment 1 keeps it like it is. A yes vote changes it to an appointed board. Is that fair enough? Is that the quick, down and dirty version?
That is the quick, down and dirty version. And do I have 30 more seconds?
For you, yes.
Okay. One other joker that I just found in the deck here is this requires that the appointed board be representative, be diverse, be representative of the general population, and that means racially, et cetera, but it doesn't define it. You know what that does? That leaves this open for lawsuit after lawsuit after lawsuit, arguing what does representative of the population mean. This is going to put the state in a whole bunch of lawsuits, and it's a bad idea.
The first person I've heard bring that up, and I appreciate that. Quinn, coming right back, more with Quinn Hillier. We'll talk a little bit more about this Amendment 1, but we'll run down through the ballot. Of course, the big races that have a lot of people talking here. We're talking about the Senate race. We're talking about the AL1 race, and we'll talk with that. And delegates, too. We've got a lot of delegate questions. We'll ask those to Quinn coming up. Right, 823 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Boardings on this Super Tuesday. And thank you. Getting really is good information. I don't know if it's scientific, but I don't let that bother me. Good information coming through the text line, because I do think there's some basis in this. As you compare apples to apples, we get your most people vote at the same time in the same polling place. You have election after election, and so you get a sense of higher turnout than normal. It doesn't mean it's exactly what will happen for the whole day, but it's something we've been doing for 11 years around here, and it's for sure. It's a mixed bag this morning. There's some people saying that it's way busier than normal. Some people saying, yeah, it's about normal. Some people saying that it's lighter than normal. I'll continue our conversation with Quinn Hillier in just a second. This segment of the show brought to you by Lightstream. And it is easy to lower your interest rate and save on your credit cards. Right now, you got high balance on your credit cards. You've got maybe high interest rates. Here's how you fix that. Lower your interest rate and save with a Lightstream credit card consolidation loan. Get a rate as low as 5.95% APR with AutoPay. Lightstream believes that people with good credit deserve a better loan experience, and that's exactly what they deliver. That's why you work on having a good credit score, right? Get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000, and there absolutely are no fees. Can even get to money as soon as the day you apply. Apply today and get a special interest rate discount and save even more. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/Sullivan. LightStream.com/Sullivan, SULLIVAN. Subject to credit approval, rate includes a 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit LightStream.com/Sullivan for more information. All right, continue our conversation with Quinn Hillier from QuinnHillier.com. Also read his work in the Washington Examiner and the Matt Jones trilogy waiting for you over on Amazon. All right, on this Super Tuesday, Quinn, talked a bit about Amendment 1, and you did pull out a nuance to it that I have not heard anybody else. Can you repeat that for people just joining us on Amendment 1?
Okay. Well, I'm against Amendment 1 for three reasons, but the third one, the one that I just started realizing when I looked more closely at it, is it requires that the appointees to this new appointed board be representative of the diversity of the state, meaning, you know, supposedly race and gender and that sort of thing. But the problem is that that is sort of an amorphous concept. And what that does is it leaves the state open to all sorts of lawsuits, especially as both race and gender, for bad reasons, get more amorphous themselves. People are going to start suing and saying, well, this isn't exactly proportional to the number of, you know, of Native Americans in the state or whatever. And I think it's going to tie the state up in expensive lawsuits, and I just don't think it makes any sense.
All right. That's a take I have not thought about before, but I appreciate you bringing that up. All right. Let's talk a little bit something you know quite well, and that is AL1. You know, you ran a campaign in AL1. Talk to me about what you see in this Republican primary and what you think will happen today.
It's a very fluid race. There are five, you know, very good, nice guys in it. The three that have been polling at the top are the three that are politically experienced. You've got Jerry Carl, the Mobile County Commissioner, and Chris Pringle, the Mobile-based state representative, and Bill Hightower, the former state senator. Those three seem to be at the top of the polls. Of course, you want to leave it to the voters, so Castorani and Wes Lambert, you shouldn't count them out. Very nice, impressive guys. But, you know, all three of these, the people at the top of the polls, have, in my mind, done good jobs at their, you know, most recent political positions, and seem to be nice guys. And I hear a lot of people saying the same thing, which is one reason this race is so fluid, because, you know, there are a lot of people who are going back and forth, well, I like him, but I like him too, but I like him also. And, you know, any of those top three could end up in the runoff, in the two-person runoff, and which two, I don't know. But it's a very interesting race to watch, especially because none of the three experienced guys is from Baldwin County, and that leaves sort of Baldwin County up for grabs. And, you know, that's, what, a third of the district or something like that. It's a very fluid race. Almost anything can happen.
You think the politics of geography are interesting now in AL1. If we lose a congressional district and AL1 by default will grow in size over towards the Wiregrass, is what I've heard. Can you imagine the changes that will come and the kind of candidates that come forward and the kind of campaigns that are run?
Well, yeah, and actually I should say that even though the more northern counties in the district right now have a minority of the voters, they can be very powerful. Look, Dean Young in 2013, Dean Young and Chad Fincher mopped up in those northern counties, and, you know, without them, it would have been a really close three-way battle for second between those two and me, but they mopped up much better in those northern counties. I do understand Chris Pringle is probably going to do better in those northern counties than the other two. And how well they turn out, depending on weather and, you know, and whatever other factors there could be, could really determine whether Chris Pringle edges his way into the runoff.
All right, got a minute and a half left here, so let's talk Senate Republican primary. So your thoughts here for Tuberville, for Sessions, for Byrne, what's your feeling?
Again, this is one where any two of those three could end up in the runoff. I think it's much more likely that Sessions is one of them, but not an absolute guarantee. But you probably have Sessions versus one of those other two. I think Roy Moore is too far back to make it into the runoff, although I expect him to actually get a lot more votes than the polls show. Polling at 5 or 6%, I wouldn't be surprised to see him pull in 12, 14% of the vote. But, you know, it's a really strong battle for second place because I think Bradley Byrne, who is definitely in third, has closed the strongest and has the best ground game, the best organization. But Tommy Tuberville seemed to have a big lead for the second spot over Byrne. So, you know, you could see a real nail biter for the second spot. And again, there's still a chance that those two could make it and Sessions won't, but I doubt it.
There we go. Quinn, as always, we appreciate it. We'll check back in with you this evening during our coverage, okay?
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
All right. Coming right back, more of Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. Grab your calls at 343-0106. A question about seniority for Jeff Sessions. We'll answer that.
837 FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. Let's head to McConnell Automotive and talk to Louis Arata. Hey, Louis.
Good morning.
So, Mardi Gras is in the rearview mirror at this point, but you could get a new truck and a great deal out of it with the Mardi Gras truck still available at McConnell. Tell us how to get those.
That's right. We got all of them cleaned up, all out front. You'll see the Mardi Gras stickers on them, the McConnell Automotive across the front windshield. Got great deals on them. If you want one, come on by. We'll give you top dollar for your trade. If you don't have anything to trade, that's fine, too. We'll do anything. Just come by and see us or check us out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. Check out those new great trade-ins we got. GM certified gives you extra 12-12 on the warranty. We'll help you out there on those used cars. We got them from $5,000 to $50,000, so it really doesn't matter. You tax time, try to, you got an extra little money in your pocket, come on by and see us or give us a call at 251-476-4141.
All right, appreciate it, Louie.
Thank you.
That's Louie Arata. Go see him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65.
Hey, while we're talking about Louie's, another Louis friend of mine on Twitter, you'll see I just retweeted his link here. So there's a GIS map. This is really good for Mobile County. And Baldwin County folks, if you've got one of these, please send me the link and we'll retweet it as well. And Dalton, maybe we can grab this and move this over to the Facebook page as well. This is good because I've been sending everybody to alabamavotes.gov, which is, you get to plug your information in to see, basically this is your polling place if it's changed. If you move, like this applies to me because we moved here in the last year and not very far. We moved like as the honking Canada goose that's flying to Municipal Park flies a half mile, three quarters of a mile.
Mm-hmm. And your polling place changed? Or
it changed.
Okay.
It changed. So so that's one of the things, because I've always voted at the park, at the Mobile Museum of Art. Mm-hmm. Now with the little move, we're at E.R. Dixon is where we're voting. So if you've done a little move like that or a big move, if you'll click this link and it takes you to Mobile County Maps and it's a GIS map. And what you can do is you can zoom in on Mobile County. Okay, you zoom in there. Find your street, find your house, and you click on that. And then on the right-hand side, it pops up and gives you the polling place, your proper polling place.
Yeah.
So if you've moved, you know, it's a neat thing. Thank you, Louie, and I appreciate that. We put that link up. You can check it out there. We'll put it on the Facebook page as well.
Yeah, it's going on Facebook right now, and you're right. That's handy. All you got to do is put in your address, and then it shows you exactly where to go.
Or you can just, like, or toggle the map.
Yeah.
You know, I like to use the map. I'm that one.
You are a map guy.
I am a map guy. I even have some maps. I have so many maps. I have maps stored in Dalton's office right now. I have frame maps everywhere. Yes, I do love maps.
Yeah, and behind the scenes here, real quick, behind the scenes radio talk.
Yeah.
When I'm on your computer over there and I'm trying to type in my own site, and usually, you know, on my computers, it auto fills in and sends me there.
Yes.
There's this one site I try to go to.
You're about to tell on me.
And it goes straight to a map site immediately.
Yes.
And so I have to go, no, I'm not trying to look at maps. I'm not Sean Sullivan here. So.
Right. Yeah, I have multiple, but yes, I have a thing for maps. All right. Somebody on the text line here said, not sure if you mentioned it this morning, but St. Ignatius polling station was moved to the public library. Okay, so I guess that's it's going to be the library there at Old Shell and McGregor. I'm guessing, Texter. If I'm wrong, please correct me on that. Let's see. Good turnout. Ryan says Foley Civic Center has a light crowd right now. Just more information. Y'all keep this going. Texting us at 343-0106, giving us information. Like when you go to vote, is it normal? Is it lighter? Is it heavier? Because most people, you know, are going to vote at the same time of the day and they have the same polling place unless they've moved, and get a vibe on what it's like where you're voting today. Also, we had a question there while we're talking to Quinn, and let me fill this in. So somebody, I just saw what was on the screen. They wanted to ask about Jeff Sessions and seniority, mm-hmm. right? And so let me guess what they were asking. Will he retain his, if elected, would he come back into the Senate with his same seniority he left? Negative. He will not. The nuance is, listen to this. So here's the nuance that's been, and I think this is true. He would have seniority over the rest of the, if he was elected, you know, elected in the primary and beat Doug Jones. By the way, Doug Jones is not winning in the general election.
Okay. I've heard someone say that.
Okay. So if he was elected, if Jeff Sessions was elected and came in as part of the freshman class there, he would have seniority over any other new senator, people that had not been in the Senate before.
Mm-hmm.
But he does not come back in with seniority he left the Senate with.
Right. That's huge.
But, I mean, this is all on the, this is now subjective versus objective, but he would have connections.
Right.
You know, hey, man, dude, I'm back.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Jeff Sessions would ever say, dude, I'm back. But in Sullivanese, I'd be like, dude, I'm back. What's up, man? Can you help me out here?
It'd be like going into a maze, right? He's already been through the maze, so he at least knows how to navigate the maze. He doesn't get to go back and immediately go back to the end of the maze, but he gets to, he knows the halls and how everything works.
Good analogy.
If you're a freshman senator, you're walking into that maze for the first time. You got to figure it all out.
Also, thank you. Michael said, I had that question about St. Ignatius. He said, yeah, it's been moved to the Moore Public Library, which is the one there. It's kind of behind Spring Hill Baptist Church right there,
mm-hmm.
McGregor and Old Shell area. So that has, that's been moved. All right, so I want to take a call, and then I want to address a text, too, because I've gotten this question about the delegates, so we're going to run through that in a second. First, though, let's go to Ross in Midtown. Hey, Ross.
Good morning.
Morning, man.
I was calling, what do you do if you have a complaint about your polling location?
Complaint about the people or where you go poll, or what specifically?
Well, I vote in the old three circles. It's the Three Circles Baptist Church on Sage Avenue, which used to be Sage Baptist Church. And you used to be able to park in the parking lot in the back, and you would go in the gymnasium. Well, now they've closed that up, and they've got you going into, like, just a little room in the front of the church, and you have to park in an insufficient parking lot across the street and cross Sage Avenue traffic on front to get to the polling station.
Yeah, I'm going to guess right now, and I'm nice thing about this show, if I'm wrong, I'll be told I'm wrong pretty quickly by those people in charge. Board of Registrars, I would think, or Probate Judge Don Davis would be the first place I'd think to bring up that complaint. Now, they will probably, if it's not them, Ross, they will tell me very quickly on the text line that I'm wrong, and they'll tell me who to do it. But that's my best guess right now. If we don't hear anything back from them, contact Board of Registrars for Mobile County or Probate Judge Don Davis and petition about that you have an issue with the parking there and the size.
Right. I suspect I won't be the only one to complain. It's a bit dangerous.
And you know what? That's a nice thing in our system. You have enough people say, hey, man, this isn't working, then they'll figure out something new by next time we vote.
Well, I appreciate it.
Thanks, Ross. Appreciate the call.
And, you know, this might be just a quick Google search. This might be more related to voter fraud, but there is an online election complaint form at the
Well, that's why I was asking him what kind of, because there's
big time.
He's not talking about fraud or
right.
anything. He's talking about, hey, I can't get parked here.
But, you know, this complaint form, it doesn't specifically say voter fraud, but you can make this complaint form. But it also asks if you've submitted information to some of your local representatives first before you did that. But that would be an option, it looks like, for at least someone to look into it.
All right. So this texter says, good morning. Do you have a show segment on your website regarding how to select delegates on the ballot? We don't have anything on the website, which, by the way, we have a bunch of other things there. If you'll go to 2020 election, that tab on the front page of fmtalk1065.com, we have sample ballots, we have interviews, we have all that kind of information on that page. But let me try here, unnamed texter, which, by the way, as always, I'd love y'all. If you give me your first name, your first and last name, or make up a nickname for yourself, it feels more normal to me to refer to somebody by some name. All right, so your delegate thing, and you said how to select the delegates on the ballot. Let's do that. Let's go through this for a second here. If you look, and I'm gonna keep this with the Republican ballot, okay? Republican ballot here, and you go down, you have all the names, and you know you get down below the judicial and PSC and all that, and Mobile County Treasurer, and then you come up on column two. And below you have the Mobile County Commission, District 2 for a lot of people, if you're in District 2, that vote. But then you have the delegates. It says, for delegates to the 2020 Republican National Convention, state at large. All right. So you have places, and the way this used to be decided, they used to do this by congressional districts, okay? They used to figure out the delegates by congressional district. And that has changed. The formula that makes what place, I don't know. I don't know that. And we'll tell you what, we'll get that figured out by the midday, because you'll see there's several different places. So it'll say place one, place two, place three. These are the people that go to the convention, and in our system, they are your representatives. If you voted for, let's say you voted for President Trump. Okay, you vote for President Trump, and you've got that first line says statewide delegates, place one, Trump delegates. Mm-hmm. Which I love the irony of the choice on that number one between Governor Kay Ivey and State Auditor Jim Ziegler.
Talk about a battle royale.
Oil and water, right? So there might be a little bit of a tell there as people vote for their Trump delegate. So either Kay Ivey or Jim Ziegler will go and vote for Trump.
Mm-hmm.
It's just who you want voting for Trump. It's not going to change.
It seems strange to me.
It's just the person that gets to go up to the convention and vote for Trump.
Right. I feel it just feels kind of odd to me that that's important enough to be on the ballot. But, you know, smarter minds than me.
Then you have uncommitted delegates, right? Mm-hmm. So you have the Trump delegates and the uncommitted delegates. I'm going to tell you, I don't think that the numbers will show anything in Alabama that would have the uncommitted delegates voting for anybody but President Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I think that the uncommitted delegates will also end up by de facto being Trump delegates. Then you go down, same thing, place two, place three, place four, place five, and on down the list. These are different. It's interesting. These are different parts of the state. The first one is overall in the state. And then you kind of, if you look at it, you look at the names here on these statewide delegates, you can probably pick out what part of the state a lot of them represent. And a lot of times the names on there will be people running for other offices. You'll have seen them earlier running for this office or that office, but they're in addition running as statewide delegates. That means they're actively involved in that party. In this case, it's the Republican Party, but on the Democrat side would be the same thing. So these are the delegates that go to the convention to carry the vote. It's like an extra step.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? The parties are not government agencies. The parties can make whatever rule they want. And this is, you know, this is how they do it, and they go to the convention. So that's you've heard of the delegate talk on the Democrat side. Remember the super delegate talk?
Yeah, that seems like it's
people that get to vote at will, that they're not, because most of the time you have a delegate that's locked in. I mean, you're picking a person, but they're going to go vote for, you know who they're going to vote for, whoever. What. But in the case of super delegates, they're party elders or party power brokers or whatever, who can vote for whomever they want.
Yeah, the way I understand it, if it's a close enough race on the federal level, then it might be the superdelegates that actually sway the way the race goes. And that's what a lot of people on the Bernie Sanders side of things are worried may happen in the coming election. So it seems like the delegates, at least on the Democratic side of things, a little bit more up in the air sometimes with those superdelegates.
So there you go. There's kind of a... There are, how many? There are 50-something delegates here. 52 pledged delegates for Alabama. By the way, Alabama comprises just 3.8% of all pledged delegates to be awarded today. That's so delegates are, you know, it's a part of our system. It's good. Vote for the person you want, but... if you have like a Trump pledged delegate, you vote for either person, they're still going to vote for President Trump. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? It's almost like a popularity contest who you send up to do that. So that's one of the things. And oh yeah, people asking about voter ID. What is voter ID in the state of Alabama? What's legal? All right, let me run through the short list here from Secretary of State's office. Valid driver's license, not expired or has been expired less than 60 days. Alabama law enforcement, ALEA, digital driver's license, which I don't know, digital driver's license. I haven't seen that yet.
Not familiar.
ALEA folks, call me on that. I'm interested. If you have a non-driver ID, you know, the free IDs we give in the state, valid non-driver ID that's not expired or has been expired less than 60 days. Alabama law enforcement agency digital non-driver ID, valid Alabama photo voter ID, valid state issue ID, valid Alabama Department of Corrections release temporary ID, valid Alabama movement booking sheet from prison jail system with a photo required. Interesting. Valid pistol permit, what I call a concealed carry permit, and it says photo required. I know the one from Mobile County has your photo on it. That is a picture ID. Valid federal issued ID. valid U.S. passport, valid employee ID from federal government, state of Alabama, county government, municipality, board, authority, or other entity of the state, valid student or employee ID from a college or university in the state of Alabama, including postgraduate, technical, or professional schools, valid military ID, and a valid tribal ID. So those are the accepted forms of ID on this Super Tuesday, and anytime you get a vote in the state of Alabama. All right, coming right back, more of Mobile Mornings. This is FM Talk 106.5. Remember, so much more on sample ballots and all that on our website. 2020 election tab on the front page of FMTalk1065.com. What's the latest? How many in our audience, how many people are going to be voting today? Let's see. Let's see the update here. We dropped down to 93%. It was 96 for a while. Hey, thanks, Kane. 8:57, FM Talk 106.5 at Mobile Mornings. By the way, the online opinion poll question brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. That's my buddy Trey and his crew. 11 years in the business in Mobile and Baldwin County, making junk disappear. Could be inside your home, outside your home. Could be at a storage unit, office. Listen, wherever you got junk, a home you're getting ready to sell, you got junk, you need it gone, you don't know what to do with it. I know, I've been there before. I can answer that question. It's like magic. Call 1-800-GOT-JUNK. You point at the item and poof, it disappears. Make that appointment online at FM Talk at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. Although there's a link through, you can go to FMTalk1065.com and link through to 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, but you probably take the fast route. 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, or pick up the phone and give them a call at 1-800-GOT-JUNK. All right. Thank you. More information coming in here. Let's see, a little busier than normal at St. Michael's at Heron Bay, yeah, in South Mobile County. What a pretty church that is. Let's see, Tony says very light at Daphne High School. We'll keep this going here on the text line and talk about it more when we come back on the air at noon today for Midday Mobile. A reminder, special coverage of election night brought to you by the Craig Smith Agency. That starts at 7 p.m. All right, so 7 this evening. We're live again right here at FM Talk 106.5. Mike Gallagher Show on the way next.